if Webby's a cake of soap or a body wash. What about these?
We'll have to ask him.
Mm. G'day, Webby. How are you, Webby?
Firstly, can I just say from the top, this is really fascinating. Really fascinating chat. But just, I'm sure all the listeners out there want to know, I actually use both.
Goat soap. Goat soap, Webby.
Have you seen the ad, Webby?
What's that?
Have you seen Loz's ad, the ad that he's in?
No, for what?
He's in an ad
for goat soap.
Goat soap, and he does this dance.
He's walking around with a towel and slippers on, dancing. Webby.
Yeah, you'll see it shortly.
50-year-old man walking around the street with towel and slippers on.
I'm not surprised.
When you got a body like this, Webby, of course you can.
Worn it, Loz. Mate, I live in King's Cross, so someone walking around wearing a dressing gown and slippers, it's nothing.
What did you make of the game last night, buddy?
I thought Newcastle were good. They were never really troubled, were they? I'm not convinced that they're a top four team yet, but they bounced back from a pretty demoralising loss against the Storm. It's always going to be hard for the Broncos when they've got two blokes having 10 minutes stints in the sin bin. They're in a world of hurt, aren't they, the Broncos? That's four losses on the trot. And I know that Anthony Seibold said after the game that he'd consider making some changes. I don't know what he does. And I know he had Pangai Junior back, and he put on a nice big shot early on Clemmer early in the game. But yeah, there's going to be some more pain there, you think, at Brisbane before it gets better. But you know, Newcastle keeping on, and they're looking great under O'Brien this year, their new coach.
Yeah, they're playing some really good football. They're playing a tough brand, but they've got some good players as well. But I just want to delve a little bit deeper into the Broncos, Webby. He signed a 5-year deal, Anthony Seibold, and he's 18 months into that. And there's already been talk about, you know, he's under pressure, but given the results over the last month, will he last if the results keep coming like that?
It's on the board, isn't it? It's on the board, and it's on Paul White, the chief executive. Like, it was an extraordinarily long deal that they did. And if you talk to people at South Sydney, they were convinced that the deal was done long before it got announced. They felt a little bit duped by it. Anthony Seibold denies that strenuously. It was a huge show of faith from the Broncos board in their coach. So I think they've got no choice, but they have to make it work. If there's any club that can afford a hefty payout, it would be the Broncos. But I think it's almost 6 years. I'm pretty sure he's got an option his way for an extra year, or it might be in the 50. I don't know. But either way, it's an extraordinarily long contract in coaching terms. I think he has been unlucky in terms of injuries in a lot of respects. Like, you just saw, like, he got rid of McCulloch, and then they have issues with injuries around their dummy half.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing,
Webby. Like, Zach Turpin straight away. Like he hasn't had much luck, Steve, in a lot of respects. But, yeah, as I said, it's going to take a very, very strong board to have a long-term view before it starts to get better at the Brisbane Broncos.
Yeah, and the people that I speak to in and around the Broncos, and in particular some of the older players, as in ex-players, they just think there's so many mixed messages coming out of the club. And, you know, they're going down this youth policy, and then the youth policy's not working. We need to go and get experienced players. And they're concerned that there's a bit of a, you know, this is what we're doing for this week, and then the next week it all changes, the plan.
It's very, very un-Broncos-like. You know, they just, you know, we're not used to seeing the Brisbane Broncos look this shambolic. And, you know, I think it's been said plenty of times in recent weeks, and I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, like, a team like the Broncos should not be in this situation. They should be an absolute powerhouse. If you fed income, they're the most underachieving team of the last 20 years, given the resources that they've got.
Webby, what about Cameron Smith? What's the beef with him at the moment?
Well, Craig Bellamy this week came out and launched a passionate defence of his captain yesterday off the back of Matt Tripp, their new chairman. He also launched a passionate defence of him this week. They seem to think that the criticism that's being levelled at Cameron is very, very personal. It's sort of been ramping up a fair bit in the last couple of years. I have to say, I don't get it. I don't get why there's so much Cameron Smith hate. I know know, he's there's so much talk in this week. It's been about, again, his influence on the referees and where he's standing in that, you know, game against Newcastle. I know the Storm, and I know Cameron himself are pretty angry at the suggestion that he swore at Ben Cummins. He completely denies that that was the case, that it was someone else picked up on audio, but it wasn't him. It's been going on in terms of criticism of him for some time. They, you know, the Storm just think he deserves a little bit more respect. Now I have to say, I don't understand why the criticism is that strong on him. He's a clean skin off the field. You know, he's never been charged by police. He's never stepped out of line in terms of player behaviour. I know he's irritating because he's so good, and when you're playing his side, you're very frustrated at what he does in the tackle, and again what he does when he talks to the referees. But that's on the refs. So yeah, the Storm of sort of getting a little bit sick of it. I don't think. I know towards the end of last year, Cameron was pretty frustrated at the level of criticism he was getting, and you know there were some suggestions that he might have walked away from the game, but. He seems this week to be fine with it. Water off the duck's back. He turned 37 yesterday. People are speculating about his future, and that's going to ramp up in the next few weeks. I don't think he will make a decision until August because everything's been put back because of COVID. Mm. But it wouldn't surprise me if he went another year.
Talking about whether he'll go another year, can you see Craig Bellamy coaching at another club? Because there's some mail today going around that, you know, the Bulldogs have made an approach to him?
I saw that report. Most of the mail around the Bulldogs has been involves Wayne Bennett. Then again, Wayne Bennett's been linked to a whole stack of clubs. I honestly think Wayne Bennett will stay at South next year, and I don't think Craig Bellamy's going to leave. Every time he goes close to coaching another team, he sort of pulls the pin. You remember, or you might remember, but he was very, very close to signing with the Dragons and bringing Cooper Cronk with him. Who knows what would have happened if that was the case for the poor old Red V. There's a lot of different factions at the Bulldogs who do a lot of business away from the management team there. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that he would that they would make an approach to Craig Bellamy, but I honestly cannot see him leaving Melbourne. I think he'd just stay there to the end. I don't know if at this point in his life, he's a happy grandfather. I don't know if he needs the stress of going to Canterbury. So I'd be surprised if he ended up going.
And just in regard to your Dragons, James Graham could be on the way out and sooner rather than later. Is this a good call for him to go back home to St Helens?
I have to say I'm surprised. Jared, after no less than a couple of weeks ago, James Graham was saying, "I'm not looking for the door," and then he found a window. So it looks like he wants out of the club. I don't know whether I don't think it's a great sign for the Dragons, to be perfectly honest. And I also don't know where they're going to find a middle forward at this point of the year. It's a really weird season, and if I did a ring around to some of the clubs yesterday, where there might be some options available for the Dragons to replace James Graham. If he does end up getting released and going to St Helens as he wants, no one wants to get rid of players or quality players this year because there's no origin, no origin break, there's no buys, and it's a mad dash to the finish. So I don't think clubs are that keen to be thin in terms of their squad. It's going to be a war of attrition until the end. And I'll tell you what they're sweating on. They're sweating on Jack DeBellum being in Wollongong District Court on Monday, where his legal team are believed to be working on trying to get those charges dismissed. I can't go into it further because there's suppression orders in place. But if that happens, then Jack DeBellum suddenly solves that problem for Paul McGregor and the Dragons, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, it's a big day then for Jack DeBellin and the Dragons on Monday, and we'll wait and see what happens in court. We were lucky enough to talk to Mark Hughes yesterday about Beanie for Brain Cancer Week, and you sat down with him yesterday and chatted to him as well.
I did. I spoke to him. I actually sat down with Mark Hughes in his kitchen, in his parents' kitchen in Curry Curry, just before he made his first grade debut in 1997, would you believe?
Wow.
And he's still the legendary bloke now as he was back then. Good Hunter Valley stock. He's turned what's happened, you know, his life with that brain cancer that he found out that he had in 2013 and turned it into this amazing round that we've got. And he talked to me, and so did Trent Robinson, about they do these fundraising treks. They did one up Mount Kilimanjaro in October last year, and Robbo was on that trek, and they were doing it really tough. They were probably going to call off the last night where they walk up to the summit, take a 9-hour trek, and then Robbo got to speak to the group of 20 and delivered this apparently amazing game day speech and stirred them all up, and it got them to the top of the mountain. So yeah, I've written about that in the Herald today.
And just
the Mark Hughes Foundation, it's a fantastic the way the people in rugby league have embraced it. It shows you the good in our great game.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Make sure you get your beanies too. MarkHughesFoundation.com.au or from selected IGA and Lowe's stores. Just on the theme of coaches, I loved your article the day before, Webby, about Michael Maguire and even flagging bringing a boa constrictor into the dressing room at some stage. Seriously?
Look, as I said, it was unconfirmed, but I've heard it from more than one person. So he's like, he's trying to instill mental toughness into the Tigers like he did at South Sydney. And that's why South won a comp. It's why Wigan won a comp. He's trying to do the same thing at Tigers because they just don't want to be doing what they're doing because they're not winning anything. Mm. They're not even making the finals. But some years ago at South, he belted up the locker rooms at Brookvale Oval with a baseball bat as a symbol to his players that he wanted them to bash the opposition, and apparently he wanted to get a boa constrictor or a python in there at the next match in the rooms before the game, and it was rejected because one, Sam Burgess hates snakes.
That's fair enough.
And it's also a snake. I'm not sure whether you can take a snake into the room before a game.
Well, you wouldn't get it past to come into the ground.
Just stick it in your backpack, or how do you get it in?
Imagine security pulling up the coaching. Oh, mate, you can't come in. You've got a boa constrictor in your bag. Hey, mate, just on the West Tigers, though, Benji not selected for 2 weeks in a row.
Mm.
What do you reckon the future for Benji looks like?
I don't know. It's quite strange. Like, he's, as I said, you know, and as I wrote in that piece during the week, he's trying to make a statement at Michael Maguire. And as good as Benji's been, and as flashy as he is, and as brilliant as he can be, you know, he's one of the worst defensive players in the comp at the moment. Michael Maguire says that he's been training the house down ever since he was dropped or not picked again for a second week in a row. I really couldn't tell you whether he's going to get back in the side. Like we saw at South Sydney, Loz, Michael Maguire didn't pick a lot of well-known established players, Nick Crocker, Roy Asatasi. There was a lot of pain around Nathan Merritt when he dropped him in the 2014 season, and people thought it was mad, and he replaced him with a bloke called Alex Johnston. Nathan Merritt rarely played first grade again, and the South went on to win the comp. So he's not prepared to make... He's prepared to make a hard call, Michael Maguire, but whether it's going to work at the Tigers is another question.
Just lastly, Webby, going to your crystal ball over the weekend, what's the headline we're going to be reading on Monday?
It will be about a coach who needs to be sacked, and it'll either be Paul McGregor, Dean Fay, or John Morris. There you go. That's hardly breaking news.
I reckon you're pretty close to the mark on you, mate. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, boys.